Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Friday. And you know what our new tradition is. We have added to the lineup something that gives you a chance to step aside from politics for a minute. And here's somebody who still amazes me with how much knowledge he keeps crammed in his head about sports. And that's our own JP, who, by the way, is the host, the co-host of Off the Bench, which is a sports show on Saturday mornings on The Ump in Huntsville.
Mm-hmm. From 9 to 11 a.m. Come and get your college football fix in right before the college football games start for Saturdays. We go through all top 10 games from the that day, and we have a guest picker down the show every day as well. So make sure to tune in this weekend, Off the Bench, 9 to 11 on 103.9 FM, The Ump.
Well, right now, let's do this thing that we've started calling JP on Sports. JP on Sports!
That's great.
All right, we break it up into two segments, and we're going to do the first one we like to call Three and Out. You give us the top three stories, talk through them, tell us why they're the top three, and then we come back from the break and we do the two-minute warnings. But Three and Out. First one, what do you got?
So there's a big game this weekend between Penn State and Ohio State, number three versus number four in Happy Valley. Trump will be at the game.
Oh.
Trying to win over Pennsylvania votes, I believe.
I saw somebody said that he had canceled. Is he still
going
to go?
From what I've seen, he's still going. You know, we'll see if he ends up falling through. But I bet his campaign sees that as a great opportunity to shore up Pennsylvania this close to the election. But this is a big game. Like I said, number three versus number four. Ohio State really can't afford to lose another game. I mean, even if they did, they probably could slip in with their two losses being versus number one and number three. But nevertheless, this is a rivalry game. And either coach is, you know, there's been a lot of talk about James Franklin and his inability to win the big game at Penn State. So he is, I believe he's only had three losses within the last four or five seasons against ranked opponents, and they've all come against Michigan and Ohio State. And he's only 1-9 against Ryan Day while being at Penn State, the last one coming in 2016. So he really needs to get a win against Ohio State. It'll be a wideout game, which I've been to one of those Penn State wideout games. It's something else. It's crazy. It's a crazy atmosphere. So it'll be a fun game to watch, wide out of Penn State versus Ohio State. And, for either coach, and Ryan Day, too, he's had a lot of hate for not being able to beat Michigan the last couple of years. So if he drops this game to Penn State without even, you know, having two losses before he even gets to the Michigan game, then, you know, he, unrightfully so, will be on the hot seat, in my opinion. Because Ohio State fans are really, they're really impatient, and Ryan Day is a great coach, but if he can't win the big game, you know, you're going to be on the hot seat with Ohio State fans. So both coaches, this is a big must-win for them in terms of, you know, their career and the security at where they're at.
Okay, so is it Buckeyes or Nittany Lions? What are you thinking?
Man, so I actually have a cousin who plays for Penn State. He is he's on the special teams at Penn State, and my mom's side of the family is all big Penn State. So I feel like I can't pick against Penn State in this game. I think with it being a wideout and one of the hardest environments to play in, a Penn State wideout game, I think Penn State will get the bump. But Drew Allard, the quarterback, got hurt last week in the first half of the game, and he's still questionable if he's going to play in this game. So if he does not play, that will impact things greatly. But from what I've seen, people expect him to play, even if he's not 100%. So something to keep an eye on as well.
And you think Trump's going to sort of ride the middle line and not cheer for one team over the other?
You know, if he's smart, he'll probably cheer for Penn State, since he needs that state more than Ohio State, but he'll probably be neutral, like, you know, as he always is at these games. But
All right, there's three and out. There's number one. What's number two?
Vandy playing Auburn this weekend.
You see, I'm wearing my bootleg Auburn shirt right now.
So we unplanned wearing an Alabama polo, and he's wearing an Auburn polo today, and we did not plan that, which I thought was funny. But Vandy coming off a loss where they almost beat Texas. They only lost by three to Texas after Texas dropped that game to Georgia. So Vanderbilt is proving that this is not the stereotypical Vanderbilt, you know, the bottom of the SEC. I mean, you beat Alabama, number one Alabama, you know. That tells enough as it is. But Auburn got an impressive win against Kentucky last week, where their running back Jarquez Hunter ran for over 200 yards, And it's almost like Hugh Freeze found out maybe we should utilize Hunter in the backfield when passing has been an issue this year. So we'll see if they continue that trend against Vanderbilt. But this will be an interesting one because, like I said, Vanderbilt coming off of that loss against Texas where they almost beat them, I still think they're coming off of momentum after that game. And Auburn maybe has found the key to their offense and what works, running the football. So we'll see if they can continue that success after beating Kentucky. I think this would be a really good game, honestly. I think Auburn's got a little bit of steam rolling after that win against Kentucky, and if they just keep feeding Jarquez the ball, then good things will happen. So,
you know what? You know what does not happen when you run the ball? Don't throw interceptions.
Yeah, that's true. You can't. I mean, you can maybe fumble, but no interceptions you cannot do if you run the ball.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I did see the headline last week, or the headline, but the write up of the game. For Auburn, and that Hugh Freeze had just finally looked at his offensive coordinator and says, "We got to start running the ball." Like, hello.
This epiphany.
Yes, like, I'm glad you thought so. Yeah. But Jarquez posted like 278 yards just in the last three quarters.
That's very impressive. You know, Jarquez is a great running back, one of the best running backs in the SEC. So if you're Auburn, you got to be a run first offense, in my opinion. You know, run on first down, you know, pass on second or third down if you have to, but just keep running the football when you have him in the backfield. Good things will happen. So we'll see if they continue to do that against Vanderbilt or if they try to get cocky and go back to the pass game. We'll have to see.
Well, more than once I've seen Auburn find a player that's a little bit late in the season. Like, for I think Cam Newton wasn't like the guy until all of a sudden, like three or four games in, he became the rescue.
Yeah.
And so this is our relief pitcher now. We're going to go ahead and mix our metaphors, but he's our relief pitcher. I'm for it. All right. So you're not predicting, though? You're not predicting Auburn, Vandy?
I'm leaning Vandy right now just because I really like this Vanderbilt team.
In terms of,
I don't like them beating my team, but they're hard to beat. Vanderbilt
is hard to beat. I'm sitting here wearing my bright orange shirt, and you're going
to
pick Vandy.
Well, Auburn will make it a good game, I think, but this Vanderbilt team, they've proven to be really hard to beat. And if Texas struggles against them and Alabama loses against them, I don't know if this Auburn team can beat them.
All right, what's number three?
Florida, Georgia, a great rivalry game in the SEC this weekend. The largest outdoor cocktail party in the world is the name of this rivalry game, which I guess they're technically not supposed to call it that anymore because apparently they changed the name to tone down the rowdiness around the fans in that game, as if that's going to help. But I'm still going to call it that. Which, by the way, side note, they will be playing this game in Atlanta and in Tampa in 26 and 27. They announced earlier this week because they'll be doing renovations. You know, they've always had it in Jacksonville. That's been the tradition to have it down there, and it's like half Georgia, half Florida. So while there's renovations being made on that stadium, they will be doing it in Atlanta and Tampa in 26 and 27. But Georgia riding high like they have been all year, besides the Alabama game, where they almost came back and won. But beating Texas at Austin, ever since that game, they've been playing like one of the best teams in the nation, and they seem like the Georgia of old right now, of old being the last couple of seasons. But yeah, they're riding high. Florida, though, is putting together some good games and some solid wins. You know, they almost beat Tennessee in Knoxville, and then they dog-stopped Kentucky in the Swamp. So Florida is coming off of some momentum, but just looking on paper, Georgia seems to be very much the better team.
Did you say dog-stomped?
That's funny you mentioned that. Florida dog stomped. Yeah. Florida gator stomped. Gator stomped the Kentucky team. But I'll be interested to see if Georgia can keep it going in this rivalry game, which I think they will. You know, after the Alabama game, like I said, they appear to be on a roll. And in my opinion, they're the best team in the country right now. I know Oregon's the number one team, but I would put Georgia ahead of them right now. I think they got better athletes, but I don't know. I don't give Florida much of a chance to pull off the upset, but it would be really fun and chaotic if they did.
It would indeed. It would be a hoot. All right, that's the basically three and out. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come right back and we do the 2-minute warnings. That's where JP has 2 minutes to get as much as he can about a topic out, and we'll see where he goes. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio, JP on Sports. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, it's 4:20 on a Friday afternoon. That means we're going into round two of JP on Sports. He is the host, by the way, of his own show on Saturday mornings. You can catch him on The Up in Huntsville from 9 to 11 on Saturday mornings, co-hosting Off the Bench with his bud, Kelsey. And so we do this little thing on Friday, though. I take advantage of the fact I got a guy in the studio who knows smart stuff about sports. Now we do a part called the two-minute warning. All right, JP, you know the deal, man. I start the timer. You got 2 minutes per topic. We got to hit a buzzer when you get to the end, all right?
All right.
Go.
Well, the Dodgers won the World Series, to my dismay. And Freddie Freeman, my childhood Braves hero, was the World Series MVP for the Dodgers of all teams. So I was not very happy to see that. But, you know, the Yankees, they won game four and cut down to a 3-1 lead. And then in game five, they were up by five by the fifth inning, looked like they were going to win this game. And then they had a meltdown of epic proportions.
Epic.
They had two errors to load the bases, two easy plays that were errors, and then gave up a double that brought in four runs, and then the fifth later came in, and the Dodgers ended up winning 7-6 to win the World Series. But, you know, it is good that, you know, the best two teams in baseball were playing in the World Series, even if they were the Dodgers and the Yankees. But it breaks my heart to see Freddie Freeman win a ring with another team. So I wasn't happy to see that. Shohei Ohtani gets his first World Series ring, even though people already call him the greatest baseball player ever. And his first playoff appearance, he gets a World Series ring. So we'll see if the Dodgers can replicate that next year. They'll be keeping all of their stars, so there's no reason to think that they won't. But the countdown to 2025 baseball starts now, and I'm excited because the Braves stunk last year, and I'm ready to forget about this last year.
So are you of the mind, though, that the Braves are going to recycle somehow into a
top tier? The only reason they had such a bad year is that they had so many injuries. I mean, they had one of the best lineups in baseball, and they all just got hurt. So, you know, bad luck and a cursed season kind of stunk that season up, but I'm excited to see all those guys back and healthy. Ronald Acuna Jr., who, after winning the MVP, tears his other ACL for the second time. And hopefully the injury-ridden season can be gone and we can have a healthy Braves team this next year. But
2 minutes. All right, 2 minutes. Next topic. Ready? Start the clock. Go.
Well, if you were up in Huntsville, Alabama basketball was just up there playing an exhibition game against Memphis, the Rocket City Classic, where Alabama ended up winning 96-88. LeBaron Filan was the MVP with 17 points. And this Alabama team, I've talked about them before, preseason number two. A lot of people think they have the best roster in college basketball right now, coming off of their first Final Four appearance in program history. Looking to have another great season. And right now, like I said, they're one of the main national champion favorites. But as an Alabama fan, that almost worries me. You know, I don't want to get let down and have such high hopes and people expecting a lot from this Alabama team before the season starts, because that normally tends to not go that way. But nevertheless, Alabama and Auburn, for that matter, are the two top two teams in the SEC right now. Preseason rankings have them as the top two. Auburn was ranked 11th as well. So the state of Alabama looks to have two very good basketball teams this year, the two best in the SEC, like I said. So fun times. You know, football season ends for Alabama and Auburn fans, and normally there would be a drop-off. You know, basketball teams aren't normally that good, but there's no drop-off this year, and there hasn't been lately. The state of Alabama has had two great basketball teams for the last couple of years with Nate Oates and Bruce Pearl in the state. So another great year of Alabama hoops, and one of them being the number two team in the nation. You see a number two next to Alabama, you would think football normally, but it's basketball this year, which is pretty crazy. But the first time that the basketball team, the preseason rankings were higher than the football team since 2007. When Nick Saban took over. So it's been a while that the basketball, you know, Alabama's been deemed a basketball school, but this year they got a good team. So we'll see if they can live up to the hype.
And Auburn, we're a basketball school now.
Yeah. Auburn, you know, they got a fun little arena that they play in, and it's always a hard place to play. So
2 minutes. All right. Let me clear the clock, reset, ready, go for it.
Well, I noticed John Paul earlier asked about the Boise State team who's playing tonight, but we got to talk about Ashton Jeanty, who is the Boise State running back, currently the Heisman, yes, Heisman front runner. So there has not been any player really that realistically has had a shot to catch Barry Sanders' record of 2,628 yards in a season. Ashton Jeanty has a serious chance of breaking or at least catching that record. As of right now, he's on pace to just barely be short of it, but with week eight, and if his carries keep up, he has a couple of good games, he's very much in reach to catch that record of 2,628 yards. Also 37 touchdowns. Ashton Jeanty right now, he's got 1,376 rushing yards for 18 touchdowns, and we're 8 weeks into the college football season. That is just absurd numbers. Yeah. Like I said, this is really the first time that anybody's really looked up and like, he's got a chance of catching that record. I mean, that Barry Sanders record was deemed, you know, unbreakable. But who would have thought, too, that the Boise State would be the school to have that running back to give him a shot, which, you know, he talked about he was offered millions of dollars in NIL to go to a different school, and talked about how Boise State, the legacy there means more to him than any money, any contract offer. So that's refreshing in the new era of NIL, you know, where guys are changing teams like crazy, that he stayed at Boise State and is having the season he's having right now. But like I said, the Heisman front runner, and potentially to break that quote unbreakable record of Barry Sanders, it's pretty crazy. It's something special. If you watch him play, he's a special running back. So we'll see if he can break it.
Isn't it Boise State that plays on bluegrass?
Yeah, the blue turf.
The blue turf, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. Yeah, you know, it was cool. It was cool when I was a kid and I would watch it, but now, you know, as I'm a little bit older, I mean, I'm only 21. I want to act like I'm a grown adult here, but...
You're a grown adult. You're adulting now.
Yeah, I don't like watching it. It's more of an eyesore.
All right. We got time? Do we have time for another one? Do we? I think we do.
A little bit of time for a short one.
You're going to reset the clock, and you're going to go for it.
Well, I can use this opportunity to give John Paul his predictions, like he said. I would pick Boise State in this game to continue their undefeated season tonight. Like I said, when you have Ashton Jeanty, it's kind of hard to mess it up. Like we were talking about, Auburn just needs to run the football. Boise State's got an easy game plan every game. Just hand it off to Ashton Jeanty. But the other game was USF, and I'm trying to look. Oh, it's Florida Atlantic. I got USF in this game, too. I mean, this is a USF team that gave Alabama a run for its money at Bryant-Denny. This is a good USF team. They have a chance to be one of the better group of five teams. Their coach is a Tennessee alumni. He runs a very similar offense that Tennessee runs. So I got USF. I like that USF team. And like I said, with Boise State, just hand it off to Ashton every time.
Every single time.
Nobody can beat it.
And just like that, you were 1 minute in and the music kicked on. All right. JP on sports. Good stuff, brother. You can hear him every Saturday morning, by the way, on his own show, Off the Bench, on the Ump out of Huntsville. Him and Kelsey talking sports for 2 hours from 9 to 11. All right, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.